As always, thanks for listening in today to our Friday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we will be continuing our study in Exodus, so let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
We are going to be in the book of Exodus as we finish up the book of Exodus. I don't really know how to receive that. So I understand. But a quick review. Go to chapter 1 and we'll... So, yes. But we are going to do a quick little review here. You don't have to go to chapter 1, okay? But I do want to encapsulate this from the time when Israel actually begins their exodus. And so from the beginning of the exodus, when the Israelites were in slavery there in Egypt, we've seen along this whole march a picture of the Messiah. We've seen a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it came in the 10th plague when Exodus... That we see the salvation of the Israelites out of the hand of their oppressors, the Egyptians. And so Moses, chosen by God to be the Redeemer of Israel, first goes to Pharaoh and he tells us this. He says, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, to which Pharaoh would then respond, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. And so Pharaoh is going to painfully get to know who the Lord is. And that is how Moses introduces to Pharaoh the Lord of the Hebrews. And the word Lord there is Yahweh. Our God is called Yahweh, is what he is saying there. And he says, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Well, you're going to get to know the Lord. And so after 9 very, very painful plagues, it was the 10th plague, the killing of the firstborn throughout the land, that would finally convince Pharaoh to let God's people go. And this was going to be at the beginning of the feast season for Israel, and it was known as the Passover. Now, really quickly and briefly, let's go over here to Exodus 12, okay? Because I always know that we have new people. I'm trying to catch you up to where we are. I'm trying to very simplify the book of Exodus as we get to the end here. But it is bringing out of God's people from under slavery of Egypt into the promised land. And so a nation has been created. And so this great mass of people is going to be leaving Egypt into the promised land to be God's special people. And so here in Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, it says, now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month, which is the month of Nisan for the Jews, shall be the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. This would be in the springtime. It equates to like March, April of our time today. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, you shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. So you're going to take the lamb on the 10th. You're going to inspect it for 5 days of the 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th. And so on the 14th day, if it's perfect, if it's not sick, if it's not limping, it's a perfect lamb, then you're going to kill it at twilight, okay? All these things are always pointing to the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself came in on a donkey's foal on the 10th of Nisan. He was inspected and questioned heavily by the Pharisees and the scribes there in Israel. And then on the 14th day, guess what? On the day of Passover, he was killed. And so this Passover lamb points to the person of Jesus. And then if you go to verse 21 of Exodus 12, it says, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel, said to them, pick out, take lambs for yourself according to your families, kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop. And so they're going to take hyssop, okay? And they're going to dip it in the basin there. They're going to dip it there in the blood that is in the basin. That would be in front of the doorway, okay? And you're going to strike the lintel up here and the two doorposts with the blood. And that, by the way, is the sign of the cross. And none of you shall go out of the door until of his house until morning. And the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel, the two doorposts, that, by the way, is the sign of the cross, the Lord will pass over the door, not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And it's the same thing today when you receive Jesus and what he did for you on the cross. By what? Shedding his blood. When you receive Jesus, you have now applied the blood on you. So when you die, guess what happens? Death passes over. And guess what? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Everything that we see here points to the person of Jesus. And yet, and so we are told this. And so destroyer death will pass over when he sees the blood. Now, Paul tells us, John the Baptist tells us, Isaiah the prophet tells us that the Passover lamb is the Messiah. In 1 Corinthians 5:7, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. John 1:29, John the Baptist would point to Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Speaking of Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 53, of him being able to see that the lamb at Passover actually speaks of the Messiah who's going to die for the sin of mankind. And so again, that placement, you'll see it up here, the Passover. You get to see up here again, this wonderful Passover. There it is. And you're able to see how it's placed there, like on a cross. Okay, it's there on a cross. And the cross wasn't even known in the world until 700 years later. And then Jesus would hang on a cross about 1500 years later. After this has been shown to us here, Paul would tell us these things in the Old Testament point to Christ. Paul would say in Colossians 2:16, let no one judge you in food or in drink regarding a festival, meaning a feast that would be Passover, or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come or a picture of things to come. But the substance or the reality is Christ. All these things point to Jesus. And so Passover is one of those pictures of Christ to come. The Feast of Passover marks that new beginning for the Jews. The Lord freeing the Jews from the bondage of Egypt. This happened at the Passover. It marked a new beginning, a new time in their freedom in God. And it is the same today with us. The Lord, when we receive Jesus, the Lord frees us from the bondage of sin. And so through that lamb, Jesus, and that's a new beginning for us as well. As a matter of fact, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things pass away. Behold, all things become new. It is one of the most wonderful verses I have ever come across, memorized, and relish in, knowing that since I've come to Christ, all those things have passed away. All things become, I become a new person in Christ. When I came to Christ, that's exactly what I wanted. I want the big do-over. Mulligan. I want the mulligan. You know, that first drive shanked it. You know, I want a mulligan. My whole life was shanked. And it's like, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be out in the weeds. I don't want to be in the pond that has the crocodiles running around and everything. I want a new beginning. And God says you can do that in Christ. I love that. And may we never point to someone's past who is new in Christ. Let us never do. They're a new person in Christ. Dave, did you know they that did it? I don't care. They're in Christ now. They're in Christ. They're a new creation. They're not like that anymore. I'm not like what I was before. And I love that. I am a new creation in the person of Jesus Christ. And all things have passed away. And behold, he says, all things become new. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And that's how we're seen by God, and that's how we need to be seen by others as well. And so this Passover is this yearly reminder of spiritual foundation of the nation of Israel, importance of remembering God brought them into existence, out of slavery, into this new wonderful life. He has redeemed them by a mighty hand. And the word redeem just means to purchase or buy back. And how did he do that? By the blood of the Lamb there at Passover. And how does God redeem us? Same price, the blood of the Lamb. 1 Peter 1:18 says, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the traditions from your fathers. How? But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot. He was perfect. And so just like the Israelites who were saved from the Egyptians by the blood of the Lamb, so too are we saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God. So Israel now leaves through the many miracles, the being let go through that Passover lamb and the firstborn there in Egypt now being killed. And so they say, go, get out of here. And so they do. And so they leave, and then through many miracles of God opening up the Red Sea to cross over, then closing the Red Sea, as Pharaoh has second thoughts as they've left, he goes to get them, comes after them, they go through the Red Sea, God closes it up on Pharaoh's army and destroys their army. He then provides water from the rock of Horeb, then provides bread from heaven called manna, many other miracles along the way that we have gone over. And then God gives them the Ten Commandments there at Mount Sinai and tells Moses how this nation of Israel is going to worship him. And they're going to worship him through the priesthood and through the tabernacle. And so the furniture of the tabernacle itself, everything points to the person of Jesus. And so we have seen this over the last few months here as we've been going over this. And so again, we see that that you have this sheeting all around, this fencing. And so this says you're separated from the holy God. And there's only one way to come to God was through this gate right here. And it must be met by a sacrifice. Well, what does Jesus say? I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the door. There's only one way to get in. There's only one way to get to the Father. And so it's going to require a sacrifice. Jesus is that sacrifice. He's the one that washes us with his blood. He is the one that is the bread of life. He is the light. Okay, he is the golden altar of incense. It's through him that our prayers are received up. He is the veil that was taken away on the cross. And then this is the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat that all speaks of the person of Jesus Christ. And so again, this is how you get into that throne room, is only through Jesus. Everything points to him. And we've gone over that into great, great detail. And so the tabernacle says you're separated from God, only one way into his presence, that's through the gate, through the priesthood, and guess what? Jesus is the high priest. It's only the high priest that can go beyond the veil. Jesus went by beyond the veil through his blood, and it's his blood that took down that veil. It tore in two the moment he says, Tetelestai, it is finished. And all of a sudden, the veil was torn in two from top to bottom. And so So again, when we look at that, who is the door? Jesus. Who's the high priest? Jesus. Who's the sacrifice needed to be washed? Jesus. Who's the light of the world? Jesus. Bread of life? Jesus. Whose sacrifice makes possible our prayers for God? Jesus. Who's the veil? Jesus. Mercy seat? Jesus. Ark of the Covenant? Jesus. Any question? No, I wonder what the tabernacle is all about. Jesus! That's who. God wants to make it very clear. Again, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so we've gone over these things in great, great detail. And the point is, for those of you who are new, everything about the tabernacle points to the person of Jesus. And that's important to know. When the glory of the Lord descends upon the tabernacle once it's put up. Okay? So let's look at that here in Exodus chapter 40. 40 verse 1 says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, on the first day of the month, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. The tabernacle was to be set up on the first day of the first month. We know the first month is now the first month of Nisan, when Passover took place. It's almost a year from the time that they left Egypt, which was on the 15th day of the first month after Passover. So believe me, the irony has not escaped me that it's taken me longer to teach through the Exodus account than it did for them to actually leave and set up the tabernacle. I don't really know how to view that. So, but it took about 5 to 6 months to gather the material needed for the tabernacle, the making of the things that go in the tabernacle, stitching together all the fabric in the tabernacle, all those kind of things. And we've gone through this. They would do this 6 days a week, and then they would rest on the Sabbath. The people gave with a willing heart that we've gone over previously. They all thought it was a great privilege to give to the purposes of God. And so they didn't give with a narrow or stingy heart. They gave above and beyond. And so we see this has happened. And so now Moses, we are told before, as he's putting all this together, has been given explicit instructions. This blessed project, this tabernacle, is a very explicit project that is being told, this is what you need to do. You can't deviate to left or right or put in your own thought or idea or whatever. It has to be according to the pattern. And so this is so important. It's given twice. In Exodus 25, verse 40, he says, and see to it that you make them according to the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain. Again, Exodus 26, 30, you shall raise up the tabernacle according to its pattern which you were shown on the mountain. The Hebrew author would say it also, speaking of the earthly priests. He said in Hebrews 8, 5, the earthly priests who serve the copy and the shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. So Moses was shown a pattern that was in heaven. And if Moses had not made it to the explicit instructions to the pattern that was shown him and did it exactly the way that God said from the pattern that was shown him from heaven, then the cloud would never have covered the tabernacle of meeting and the glory of the Lord would never have showed up. But it's because Moses did everything according to the divine pattern shown to him, the divine glory would fill the tabernacle. Exodus 40 verse 3, you shall put in it the ark of the testimony and partition off the ark with the veil. So you're going to put in the tabernacle itself, the ark of the testimony, the ark of the covenant, and then partition it off with the veil. Thus, you're going to make two compartments inside the tabernacle. And it's on the other side of this veil that the other furnishings are going to go in, the table of showbread, the lampstand, the golden altar of incense. Verse 4, you should bring in the table, arrange the things that are to be set in order on it. Again, this means the showbread, the bread of his presence, also known as the bread of faces, which you go back and listen to that teaching. The bread would be 12 loaves without leaven. Leaven speaks of sin. So perfect loaves, okay? And you shall bring in the lampstand, its lights, its lamps. You shall also set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony. Put up the screen for the door of the tabernacle before you even enter in the tabernacle. And you shall set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. And you shall set the laver, the bronze laver, between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar and put water in it. And you shall set up the court all around, hang up the screen at the court gate. Now, all through this we're reading, you shall set up, you shall set up, you shall set up. Meaning the Lord is telling Moses what he will do. He's not doing it just yet. That won't happen until verse 18 here. So he continues on in verse 9. He says, and you shall take the anointing oil, anoint the tabernacle, all that is in it, should hallow it, all its utensils. It shall be holy. You shall anoint the altar of the burnt offering, all its utensils, and consecrate the altar. The altar shall be most holy. You shall anoint the laver in its base and consecrate it. And you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Wash them with water. And you shall put the holy garments of Aaron and anoint him and consecrate him, that he may minister to me as priest. And you shall bring his sons and clothe them with the tunics. And you shall anoint them. as you anointed their father, and that you may minister to me as priests, for their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout your generations. And so we've gone over this anointing and the special clothing they're going to have and all those kind of things. And so it's this anointing that makes it holy. Holy just means separated for the use of God. Okay, it doesn't mean you're not sinful and things like that. Holy just means separated for the purposes of God. And so Aaron is the first to be anointed, and then his sons. Aaron is the high priest. Jesus is our high priest. The sons of Aaron are the priesthood. And so when we receive Jesus, we become part of the priesthood. It's called the priesthood of believers, and we went over that last week. And so we're also separated for the use of God when you receive Jesus. Now in 2 Corinthians 1:21, it says, "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." So again, if you've received Jesus, you're part of the priesthood and you've been anointed. You've been separated for the use of God. So now all the pieces, all the materials needed for the tabernacle have been made. However, some assembly required. So he's got to put it together now. And so we read here in verse 16 that Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did. We're going to read this time and time again. Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did. We're going to read this time and time again here in the next few verses here. "And it came to pass in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up." And so again, almost a year to the day. And it says in verse 18, "So Moses raised up the tabernacle, fastened its sockets, set up its boards, put its bars, and raised up its pillars." So when it says that Moses raised up, I mean, he's not the only one doing it. He's doing it with other people. He's probably more leading and guiding, helping here and there, but pretty much showing them how it's supposed to be put together. Okay. And so again in verse 19, "And he spread out the tent over the tabernacle, put the covering of the tent on top of it as the Lord had commanded Moses. He took the testimony, put it in the ark, inserted the poles through the rings of the ark, put the mercy seat on top of the ark. He brought the ark into the tabernacle, hung up the veil, the covering, the partition of the ark of the testimony as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he put the table in the tabernacle of meeting on the north side of the tabernacle outside the veil. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the lampstand in the tabernacle of meeting across from the table on the south side of the tabernacle. And he lit the lamps before the Lord as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the gold altar in the tabernacle of meeting in front of the veil, and he burned sweet incense on it as the Lord commanded Moses. And he hung up the screen at the door of the tabernacle. He put the altar or burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, offered upon it the burnt offering and grain offering as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he set the laver between the tabernacle of meeting, the altar, put water there for washing. Moses and Aaron, the sons, would wash their hands, their feet with the water from it. And whenever they went to the tabernacle of meeting, and when they came near the altar, they washed as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he raised up the court all around the tabernacle and the altar and hung up the screen of the court gate. So Moses finished the work." And so again, here's a picture again of what this might have looked like. And so by the time he was done, Moses did everything the Lord had commanded him to do, and he finished the work. And so this is what this artist's rendition of what it would have looked like, and of everything that was made there.
This Friday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love has come to a close. Don't miss Monday as we continue our study through Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service, and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. You can also join us for a barbecue and Bible study on Wednesdays at Rhyolite Park, located right here in Castle Rock. The barbecue will begin at 5:30, and then worship in the Word will begin at 6:45. Please be sure to bring a side dish to share. And for young adults, our Arise Ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.